how I just know how to help. A blank stare scares me sometimes. It does. I mean, I got to preach anyway. But a nod, if you're getting it, amen. I can tell if it's hitting you, you turn a little red. But if you'll nod, at least I'll know you're agreeing with it. All right? Praise God. Woo! Lord, I feel the Lord here tonight. I feel like it's time. The time is now. High time. The Bible said it is high time. You know what I think high time means? I mean, I think it's as much time as it's ever going to be. I think it's high time, amen, that we got involved in our Christian walk. Help me, God. Dear Lord, help me tonight. Romans chapter 14. I'm going to read some verses that don't, it may not apply much to my text, but I think it'll help you to get the message. And if you will, if you'll read with me, Romans chapter 14, we'll read a portion of this chapter beginning with the first verse. It says, "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth he may eat all things, and another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God has received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth." Do you see this? Now I want you to look where the apostle Paul is heading with this message. He said, "Why are you judging whether or not this other man's servant is good servant or not?" In other words, it's not any of your business. Huh? Do you hear that? Why judging? Listen. Now listen close. You're going to miss this if you don't watch this. It said, "To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, and another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded." Now get this. "Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind." I'm preaching on a personal responsibility. "Let every man be persuaded in his own mind." Now, let me go on, and I'll come back here maybe. The Lord will help me. "He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it." Do you see what we're talking about here? Two men, both of them are accepted by the Lord. Both have a different opinion. You didn't get it, did you? It's true. Is that what that reads, Brother Robert? Now, here's what he said. "He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not, do the Lord, he doth not regard it." Both men think they're doing God a service by the position that they take. And so he goes on to say, "He that eateth to the Lord, for he that giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not, to the Lord, he eateth not." Amen. "And giveth God thanks." Amen. "For none of us liveth." Now notice this. "None of us liveth to himself. And no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's." Now, I hope you're getting this. Let's go along a little farther. "To this end, Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand Now, here's his message. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So then, amen, listen to this. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I want you to get that. Now, do you know what he was saying? He was saying, why are you worried about your brother and making judgments when you're going to stand before God for yourself? I wish I was a preacher tonight. I really do. Brother Roberts done said enough good things to do you. I got to preach this message to you. You know, I'm going to go over and read some more. This whole chapter is good, but I don't want to weary you down with it. But notice in this verse over here, he said this. Amen. He said, let every man be persuaded, fully persuaded. Now, you know, sometimes when you get to talking, and I mentioned this morning, this message was already working on my heart. Sometimes when we get in this personal mode, in this independent mode, in this mode of I don't care what nobody, I'm me. It's between me and God. We almost feel sometimes like that is an escape route. And but brother, that's not an escape route. Here's something I want you to know. Sometimes we come to church, Brother Zane, and we're just a member of everybody here. And sometimes the message is generalized. And it's easy to escape preaching if you want to escape. But you can't escape God. Oh, help me preach a little bit. Because God is personal. He's going to go home with you. He's going to tell you, amen, the very thoughts and intents of your heart. Amen. God intended it. Amen. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He made it a personal thing. Amen. You know, it's not going to help you much just to belong to the church. You've got to belong to God. You hear me? Amen. A lot of folks say, I belong to a church. Amen. We know they're not talking about the body of Christ. They're talking about the church. It doesn't do you any good to be a member of the church if you're not personally acquainted with the Lord. You can't be baptized, Brother Robert. You've done proof to us, but telling us this evening that you saw an example of just to be baptized. Was that Brother Robert telling us that? His season, they dunked that guy how many times, and he was still mean when he got out. Huh? Hey, come on now, church. Hey, man, we've got to have a personal relationship with the Lord. Hey, man, listen to me now. I wish I could preach to you. You say, well, this don't sound interesting. Hey, man, I want to try to get down to your heart. You see, what Brother Robert was preaching about tonight and testifying about, and what we've been feeling in our soul, and what I mentioned in our Sunday school class this morning, I believe it was this morning, I was talking about a young generation that didn't have to work physically and how they feel bad all the time. And really, the feeling bad is not because they're working a lot, it's because they're not working enough. And that's what's wrong. That's what I preached this morning. And that's what's wrong with the church. Amen. We say the church ought to do it, and we've not zeroed in down who the church is yet. We say somebody ought to do something. Amen. Come on now. And we've never narrowed down. Amen. The message goes out. And you know, most everybody loves those generalized preachers.
I've said it myself. I've heard people say, well, old brother so-and-so, why he can preach in a way that you know, he just don't never ruffle nobody, don't hurt nobody's feelings, and everybody, he can preach wholeness to them, and they go on down the road and didn't even know he was talking about them. Well, you know, that's okay as far as being a good speaker and maybe winning some popularity and maybe being a politician. But I'll tell you, when it comes down to the gospel, we need to get our mail, don't we? How many of you love to go to those mailboxes and get those that are just stamped? What do they stamp them? It don't have your name on it. It's just stamped, whoever lives here gets it. You know, do you enjoy that kind of mail? They didn't even care, Brother Arthur, enough to put Arthur Meadows on there. Hey, man, they just put it on there. What do they say? Do y'all remember what? Resident or box holder. That's what I remember seeing. Box holder. Whoever lives here, he didn't call your name. They didn't do nothing but just say, oh, box holder. Well, we got some box holder preaching going on, but I think it's time we narrowed it down. Amen. And God put our address. Come on now. You know why I think folks are not getting personal with God? Number one, you don't get personal with God when you don't pray. If you just come and you don't pray, see, when you pray, amen, there used to be a time, Brother Zane, when the folks would come up once a year and the priest would go in, amen, and he'd go behind that place and he was the only one that could do it. And so he took the sin offering in there and put it on the mercy seat, amen, for all the people. And he was there with the power and the glory and seen the fire of God. But Brother Jesus came and the veil was rent in twain from top the bottom. Amen. Help me preach a while. Amen. Jeremiah, amen, said there was going to be a time, amen, when it used to be a time if a father would bite a sour grape, his children's teeth would be on edge. Y'all remember reading that? I could look it up for you, but I'm hurrying here tonight. But he said there's coming a time, amen, when he that biteth the grape's teeth shall be on edge. You say, what does that mean? That means there's coming a personal dispensation. Amen. When Christ wants to have a talk with you, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You can't ride in on the preacher's coattail. If you've got a good husband, a good wife, you can't ride in on their good husband and good wife's morals and prayer life. Amen. If you're a child that's got good parents, you can't ride into a spiritual life riding on mama's devotion and daddy's dedication. Brother, it's time we got personal. That's why Paul said, amen, one regards the day and he does it unto the Lord, and another regards not, but he does it to the Lord, and they're both accepted. He said, there's no use splitting hairs over that. I'll tell you what you need to split hairs over. Every one of us are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Hallelujah. Tonight, I need to get God's anointing in my soul. Amen. When we go to the pulpit, when we raise our children, oh, help me preach a little bit. Amen. Fathers are going to stand before God, but mothers are too. And mothers are going to stand before God, but children are too. Amen. Help me preach a little bit. Amen. This is a personal thing. If you don't have that talk with God before you leave this world, if you don't have that, amen, audience with him, you'll be lost forever. Amen. It's appointed unto man to die. It's also appointed something else. It's appointed a time that you, amen, make your calling and election sure. Hallelujah.
Oh, I need to preach tonight. I want to read you another verse, Philippians chapter 2. Wherefore, verse 9, listen, I want you to listen to me. Please listen to me tonight. We need revival. I think everybody's recognized it. And you know how you're going to have revival? You're going to have revival by doing what you've already heard to do. You got to be doers of the word. Amen. There's some, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to just tell you, sure, I've been here 16 years, September. Middle of September sometime. I believe Sister Helen's got it wrote down somewhere, don't you?
1983, in the middle of September, I believe it was. I was here in 1983. Amen. Help me preach this a little bit here tonight. And I'm going to tell you something. It is time. Hey, we went through them waves and them time. And people, you can look around and you say, well, we'd have revival if it wasn't, if Brother Zane would sit on the other end of the pew. That ain't got a thing to do with it. Well, if you get Brother High Jumper or Brother Run Faster or Brother Take Us Deeper or come on now, you're not helping me preach. I'm going to tell you, revival, amen, can come with Brother Robert Deal testifying if you want to have revival. Amen. That's why I don't get excited. Amen. I'm telling you what we need to get excited. I get excited. Amen. When I see folks not praying. And I see folks not living the Bible. Because when that happens, we're not going to have revival. But when I see folks begin to pray. Amen. And God may have to buckle our knees. He may have to break our heart. He may have to rub us in the dirt. But when He gets us to praying, He'll send revival. And I'll tell you when we'll have revival. When we quit worrying about who's right and who's wrong. And start worrying about who's going to stand before the judgment of God. Amen. Holy Ghost, move on my soul. I'm preaching to you after the Apostle Paul. There's some things, and I got to preach this to you. I want you to get it. There's some of you go to Holiness Church, but you don't have much of a personal experience. And brother, it is personal. Amen. Listen to me. Amen. Deuteronomy said that the sins of a father would not be visited upon the son. That's what Deuteronomy 24 said. And the sins of the child would not be visited upon the father. In other words, everybody, amen, hear me now, everybody, amen, is going to stand for themselves. And the Bible, I believe the Bible said it like this. Amen. I'll turn over here and read it to you real quick. Amen. I believe the Bible, amen, said it something like, if I could find it real quick. Amen. The fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. Amen. When we stand before God, amen, our responsibility, and we are full of excuses. Amen. Somebody offends us. Do you know the Bible talked about spiritual people who are not easily offended? Did you know that? We are so easily offended. We have a chip on our shoulder. Amen. Go to church. Amen. A holiness church, per se, and somebody preach holiness and you get mad. Now I can't figure that out. Amen. Now if you was going down, amen, to the little league ball game and somebody got up on the loudspeaker, you'd have a little gripe. But folks go to a holiness church and somebody preach holiness and get all ruffled up, I can't see it. Amen. I just don't understand it. I'm going to tell you something that'll help you tonight. If you understand that one of these days, Mr. Carter, every last one of us will be standing alone, amen, before God Almighty. Are you hearing me? We're going to stand there for ourselves. They're not going to say, Brother Noah, amen, how did Annas do on Sunday night? He'll never mention his name. Amen. Are you helping me preach? Amen. I'm going to tell you, it's a personal responsibility. You need to be born again. I can pray for you till I hemorrhage. Amen. But it ain't going to help you a bit until you get enough desire. Amen. To get up and get to this altar and pray through. I can scold you and rebuke you and pull you and even take you down to the altar and pray around you. But brother, I can't speak for you. I can't speak for your heart. It's a personal matter. God sees your life and He wants to know, amen, how much you love Him. If I could get this to you. Now look at this. The Bible said, wherefore God hath highly exalted Christ, even given him a name which is above every name. Here's a verse similar to this again. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and in earth and under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, listen to this verse. Y'all looking at that? 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Oh, God have mercy. Oh, God.
I don't believe you got that. Let me read it to you again. If you had a house full of youngins, this scripture would mean more to you. Hear me. But now, work out. How many of you are working on your salvation tonight? Huh? Well, mama's praying for me. Ain't gonna be good enough. I'm here, church. I'm here. You know, that's what the majority of church folks do. They show up at church and say, "Preacher, I'm here. Now leave me alone." But that's not good. I want you to know we get carried away sometimes with arguing over the days or whether to eat or not to eat. And we want to split hairs and disfellowship and break down. And I'm not talking about holiness issues. I'm talking about issues just like, amen, the Apostle Paul pointed out to us. Amen, one's eating unto the Lord and another's not eating unto the Lord. Brother Zane, one was just ignorant of the fact that they could eat any meat as long as it was sanctified with prayer. Paul realized you could, but he said, if it offends my brother, amen, to eat meat, if it really, honestly, genuinely causes him to sin, then I'll not eat meat as long as I live. I want to tell you this, but the Bible, Paul said, you need to quit looking at your neighbor so much and worrying over these hairs we're splitting, and realize this, my friend, that every man is going to give account of himself before a holy God.
When you put it in that perspective, you don't feel all that big, do you? You don't feel all that tough when we realize we're going to have to stand before God. So the Bible said, amen. If I backslid, God forbid, and live like the devil, my kids could still go to heaven. But if I live for God and they all backslide, they'll not make it. I'll not preach them in. I'll not pray them in. Huh? Come on now. I'll not sit on a pew in a holiness church and go to heaven. Amen. You're not saved by pew sitting. Amen. We got a personal, amen, a personal vendetta. We must make our plea to God ourselves. Woo! You know, sometimes I think we sit around the holiness church and many people sit there and they absorb everything going on. Amen. But never make that confession themselves. Never do confess the Lord. Amen. The Bible said that one day every knee in the world is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. You may not do it here, but he's got a personal appointment. You're going to stand before him. You'll either stand there and covered and shameful, or you'll stand there pleading the blood and Christ witnessing for you. I'm going to tell you, this is a personal matter. You can't go along with the crowd. You're not going to go through heaven's gate among the thrust and the rush. You've got to have it. You'll not make it in. God wants you to be right, and you to be holy, and you to be right with God.
And I don't know how in the world we can pull this individualism in and justify wrongdoing by just saying, God understands me. God's my judge. That's what people say. They like to twist these scriptures around and say, you're not my judge. God's my judge. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Amen. God won't miss nothing. I don't think I'd be bragging about, you're not my judge. God's my judge. Because He's going to see every thought and intent. He's going to remember every unrepented evil thought you ever thought. We're going to stand before God. What does that do to you? You know, we come to church, and I'm not being mean tonight. I'm not trying to be mean. But we come to church, we're so familiar with the church surrounding. We're like that boy that in the household where the ark was kept. He grew up, Sister Helen, with that ark in his house. David went to get it back, and naturally they took the dad and the two sons to help bring the ark back. And that boy, his name was Uzzah. Uzzah was walking along beside that ark. He'd been in that house. He had seen God bless his house because that ark was there. But he got used to it. He grew up around it. He played all around it. The cart began to rock, and old Uzzah just put his hand. He knew better than that. He knew better than that, Brother Zane. He knew better. I'm going to tell you, there's some people in this church house that know better than what they're doing. He put his hand toward the ark. God said, don't touch this ark with your hands. Do you know what happened to him? He died on the spot. We've lost that awe of the presence of God. We've lost that fear and respect. Yes, we have. He's here tonight. Oh, God. We're going to stand before Him. It is our personal responsibility to work out our salvation. You see, I thought we were saved by grace, that we weren't saved with works. No, that's true. But the Bible says here to work it out. You go down and work it out. You pray and seek God. You plead the blood. You maintain your prayer life and your scripture reading. Sometimes it gets to be a heavier load than I can carry when I take 100 folks, and it seems, and I know it's not true, but sometimes it seems like the whole 100 is expecting me to keep them saved till next Sunday, and I can't do it. Preach me something, preacher, that'll keep me going. You may have to pray. You may have to get your Bible off of the high shelf, dust it off, open it up, read it for yourself out of desperation until God comes to you. I'm so tired of coming to church and fasting and praying and feeling God and then coming to church and seem like nobody else feels God. I know it ain't like that, Brother Steve, but sometimes it seems like that when you're leading and there's folks out there saying, bless me if you can, anoint me if you can. I'm going to tell you, if you get anointed, you'll get anointed the same way everybody else does. You'll get on your knees somewhere and you'll seek God and you'll confess your sins, amen, and you'll plead the blood and you'll be endued with the Holy Ghost until you're empowered by the Spirit of God. Don't blame me if you ain't got it. Don't blame Brother Robert if you ain't got it. Don't blame your wife if you don't have it. Don't blame it on the old dog that keeps getting out a lot. You better look in the mirror and realize the only thing can keep you out of heaven is you yourself. Amen. Somebody help me preach. I want you to look at your experience tonight. I want you to just take it and look at it. How powerful are you with God? How spiritual are you with the Lord? How spiritual are your mind and thoughts? How much of this work are you getting done? Whoo! How much faith do you have? How many souls have you won? How many sick have been healed at your touch, your shadow? And you say, it's a mess, preacher. Well, I'm going to tell you whose fault it is. It's yours. It's yours. You say, no, if you is more anointed, I'd love to be more anointed. But that ain't it. Woo, help me. Amen. If that singers, if that choir would sing a little better, they did as good tonight as they'll do. I'm going to tell you, you're not where you need to be. You know it. And I'm going to tell you who's responsible. You are. Now here's where we're going to have revival. You don't like this preaching, but I'm going to tell you, here's where revival is. When you quit blaming everything else and accept the responsibility. It's a personal affair between me and me. Amen. Work out your own salvation. Brother Zane, if I don't make it, you know whose fault it'll be? Oh, God. I've seen a lot of, not a lot, but several backsliders have come to me, and those that recovered themselves were not the ones that were bitter at everybody. But it's the ones that says right here is the problem. Help me preach a little while. Amen. I wish you'd help me preach the gospel to you. Amen. It's a personal matter. Christ is looking at you. He's got His eyes on you. Not just the church. Not just your family, your community, your county. But the Lord is looking at you. He knows everything about you. And He wants to have a conversation with you. Somebody say amen. Oh God. That's why we raise our kids in church. That's why we raise them in church and we watch them. And I'll tell you what's the truth. I'm glad that my four, and I'm not saying this in a critical manner, but I'm glad my four oldest ones, Brother Robert, are in now. Because we have such dead meetings that I fear they'd have trouble if we don't have revival. Say, you're being awful critical. No, I'm not. I'm saying we're going to have revival. Our loved ones come and they feel that spirit. Amen. You got so used to it maybe, but that old spirit, amen, of he eats meat and I don't eat meat, and he honors days and I don't honor days. I tell you, the attitude we need to come when we come to church is we bring a sacrifice. We don't lead that lamb up there for our neighbor. You couldn't offer a sacrifice for your neighbor's sin. You took it up there and the priest made you put your hand on its head while he cut its throat and transfer your sins to its body. I want to tell you, when the Son of God died, He didn't just die for all the world. He died for you. You! I'd have never spit on Him. Yes, you did. I'd have never slapped Him. Yes, you did. I'd have never cursed Him. You did it. And I'm going to tell you what you're going to be until you admit that. You're going to be a bona fide hypocrite till the day you die, until you realize all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's you in the need of prayer. It's a personal debt that you owe. Samuel was one of the best men in the Bible. I've ever read about Samuel. Can you find a fault in the Bible with Samuel? He had two of the wickedest boys that ever lived. They committed horrible acts right in the door of the house of God. Before they done that, they went in and the priest portion after the sacrifice had cooked so long. Then it was legal for the preacher to go in and take his part out. You know it is legal. But what they did, before it got cooked up good, Brother Arthur, they'd go in and take the tongs and they'd take more than they should have. They took God's portion too. Huh? They took the part that was the sacrifice to God. They were sacrilegious. They were wicked and vile. They were full of lust. Why? That's the lesson I'm preaching to you tonight. Many times when children have a good parent, amen, they'll lean on that devotion of that parent and they'll be wicked themselves. But I want to tell you something. You're not going to go to heaven on nobody else's experience but your own. You lazy and sorry around and don't pray and don't dedicate and devote and don't read your Bible. And you know there's been people that backslid reading their Bible every night because they didn't do what it said and they didn't give their heart. Amen. The man of God, Solomon, said that God said, "Give me thy heart." That's what he wants. If he gets your heart first, then you're going to read your Bible and you're going to do your praying and you're going to live holy. But when you try to do all of that and hold back a portion of your heart, you're going to be lost. He wants to come into your heart and sup with you. Amen. I wish I could preach better. We're going to stand before God. I've had conflicts with folks in my life and I never did want the first one. I've had controversies and conflicts, and you work it down to a situation where you know something's got to give, something's going to happen somewhere. There's a conflict there that don't need to be. And I'll tell you what, God always deals with my heart. Amen. He says, "You make sure you're right with me." Well, that's the thing that matters more than anything else. And this old excuse, "Man ain't my judge, God is not an excuse at all. Whoo, sweet Lamb of God, I feel the Holy Ghost. The way we live and walk and talk, we need to keep this in mind at all times. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. His feet were like brass. His eyes like fires." Huh? You know what that means? That means he sees with a pure, amen, sanctifying look. He wipes every refuge of lie away, every cover and shroud of pretense. He sees right through it all. And you're left standing in a personal judgment with Christ. Am I helping you tonight? Not only do we have a personal responsibility to be saved, we have a personal responsibility to have standards and convictions in our life. You hear me? What is your church's standard down there? That don't matter. What's yours? What's your standard? What do you mean, standard? Well, how far will you go? Where's the line? What do you measure your life by? Do you have a principle that governs how you live? What is that principle? What grandma told you? What the preacher says? What's on the bylaws? What guides your principles? Huh? I'll tell you, this old backslid church world is always saying, "Show me that in the Bible." I feel like saying, "Go find it for yourself." Come on now. Because if I tell them, they ain't going to believe it, no way. But if they'll go find it, if you'll go into the presence of God and say, "God, is what I'm doing all right with you?" See what he says. Huh? Years ago, I was preaching some standards and personal, how people ought to have some personal experience with God. And this woman asked me, she said, "You think I'll go to hell for doing this?" I said, "Well, I think so." They said, "Well, I don't." What else was there for me to say? All I could say was, "We'll see." Time will tell. You say, boy, you get me on the edge of my seat. I don't like I don't like this pressure. I don't like you, Brother Robert, telling me that I've got to get up off my seat and go do something. I don't think I have to do that to go to heaven. We'll see. I want you to take your experience tonight to this altar, and I want you to hold it up to God and say, God, are you happy with this? And if He says not to, then you know whose job it is to fix it. If we feel the responsibility. You know why I like a choir? I love a choir. One thing, you get 30 people up there and participating at one time. And that's about probably 20 families involved. Those back here can't sing, their kids are up there. And you know what that does? It gives everybody a sense of responsibility. Huh? And it ain't no wonder. It goes, and you feel good, and you, amen, because you got mom back there praying for daughter, and daddy praying for son, and you got 30 young people up there, and you've got half the crowd involved in one song. That's why I like a choir, because I like to get folks involved. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to bring this down and make you feel this load. Brother Zane, Galatians 6 and 5 said, let every man bear his own burden. I know the verse before it said, bear one another's burdens. But then it come down, Brother Darrell. It said, every man's got to bear. If nobody will help you got to carry it. You got to stand. I don't know how I can make you feel more a part of this church than make you, instead of on the outskirts, you get involved. Get in the trenches. You folks here, we've been through some tough times. And I'm going to tell you, those that feel responsible, not just Brother Randy's responsible, but feel it, they rally every time. You hear me? They rally around the cause every time. It ain't for my sake. I've got enough sense to know that. It's for the sake of the cross and the gospel. And could I tell you this? I want to make you feel it. Oh, God, somebody pray for this preacher tonight. Brother Mark, years ago I read this and stirred my heart. A man of mine caved in. Will you listen to this last part of this message? A mine caved in. Hundreds of people around the mouth waiting for them to dig those covered miners in. One man came up. And he knew that his boy didn't work that day. So he walked up and said, what's happened? And they said, they've been a cave-in. And they said, oh, that's too bad, the man said. They're digging now, trying to open an air passage to give them air. He said, oh, that's too bad. He said, my boy is off today. And the foreman looked over and said, I called him in. That man took his coat off, ripped it off of his body, and ran digging in that ground with bare hands. What made the difference? What changed that man's zeal for the work? My boy's in there. Why do we have to wait till they have our name on them before we cry? How can I make you feel the responsibility of this work here? How can I do it? Brother Zane, do I have to tell them your boy's in there? I shouldn't have to tell them. You know why these staff have stood up here? You know why they've worked here in this school, some of them 15, 16 years? It ain't because they like me that well. They love me as their pastor. I don't have no manipulation over them. I'm not, as somebody accused me of one time, I'm not Jim Jones.
You know why they're here? They're here because they feel responsible. They heard the call. They feel the pressure. That's the kind, Brother Zane, you can count on. You don't have to worry about it. Listen, church, I'm trying my best to obey God. Not only in this message tonight, but my entire life. God knows I've done throwed it all to Him. I ain't interested in nothing else. I'm a man that's working by the clock, ticking it off. Time to live. Time to love. Time comes only from above. The greatest gift is time. That folks don't understand, Brother Mac. They don't. My cousin called and he wanted to know, when are you going to be at your church so I can come visit? That breaks my heart, Brother Robert. I don't want to be gone from you folks no more than I want to be gone from my wife and children. It's an end time, last minute, ditch effort to reach somebody for the cause of Christ. You hear me? Folks don't understand. I said, you mean you're... I've had folks say, you're going to drive 10 hours to preach? And think nothing about driving to Colorado to elk hunt. We're running out of time. Sometimes I feel my own church people don't understand what we're doing. Oh, how could I get you to feel it? God. How could I get you to just understand not what I'm doing, but what you need to do? That little thing I said this morning about